Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazandPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Well, good morning. And today we're going to have another incredible show. We have our good friend and favorite guest on today, Meir Schneider. He's going to be telling us how to combine self-healing, body awareness, and massage to bring back the whole new level of health. I'm Paula Nunes.
And I'm Taz. Well, Meir definitely has been led by inspiration his whole life. And as a teenager, he overcame congenital blindness and today holds an unrestricted driver's license. And the principles he discovered while working to gain functional vision became the foundation for his self-healing method, a comprehensive holistic healthcare system combining movement, massage, breathing, visualization, and eye exercises, effective for a whole wide range of degenerative conditions of the eyes and the body. And I think, Meir, welcome. We're so excited always to have you with us. This is incredible. Are you there?
Hi.
Meir?
Hi.
Yes. Nice to be with both of you.
We've introduced
and I have,
you.
I have a very nice announcement, and this is that I'm going to actually come to Santa Cruz to teach half a day of vision improvement, and it's going to be on May 28th, and on the 27th in the evening, I'm going to give a general lecture about the power of the body to heal. So people can come from Santa Cruz, people who heard me on your show and people who were from that area, and I never came there, not in the last 15 years, it's going to be a real good opportunity to meet me.
Oh, my goodness, that's so good. Well, you know,
what
not
location?
Only that.
What?
What location? What address can people...
I'll tell you where the venue is going to be. The venue is going to be Santa Cruz. It's going to be the Center for Transformative, and it is 819 and a half Pacific Avenue. It's Suite 3. And anyone who calls wants to get information can call Jan at 831-359-1183. So that's very nice. You know, I was in Manhattan. I am in Tel Aviv. I'm even going to the northern town of Fat. I'm going to Slovakia. I never was in Santa Cruz and for 15 years. I was in the Unity Church there 15 years ago.
This is a real treat for people in Santa Cruz, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, now, Meir, you have also a level one training coming up real soon.
Yes.
This Tuesday.
We're starting a level one training with people who are coming to me from Hungary, from the Czech Republic, from different parts of the country and the state, from back east. And it would be nice if somebody from the South Bay will get to us as well. In that segment, it's going to be a very special one because Each segment, each training, we basically deal with the concerns of the people within that training course. And what is special about this one, we have several people there with muscular dystrophy, even somebody coming to us from Brazil with that. And the big thing about it is that our training comes to help you find the muscles you never used in your life, in your body. It comes to help you find new neural pathways that you never thought you had. And consequently, each person improves to the extent that they can improve within their condition. For example, I think that once we called you from a training course where I had one person who came to me from England with retinitis pigmentosa, and he improved his vision dramatically. His father became nearly blind from the same disease of the retina dying, but he improved quite a bit, and he came here with great determination to improve himself. So I really am happy when I have class with people with great abilities and people with great disabilities, and we work on all of them with the same principles of getting more of our muscles to work, of breathing deeper, of moving better. This person with Becker muscular dystrophy, which is the second worst muscular dystrophy there is, when he came to me at first, he could basically stand with his wife's help. It's interesting. His wife is deaf, and they communicate beautifully. He couldn't really raise his arms up. And when we finished several weeks of intensive work, I was, in fact, away. Some of it worked. Some of my apprentices worked with him. A nice lady by the name of Mary spent with him 5 hours a day, even though she was there to spend with him an hour and a half, but she just spent with him a lot of time. He was able to cross the room several times instead of just standing and making a couple of steps. And he improved a lot and didn't lose his improvement. And he was so light, I couldn't even get him to a pool because he would float. And we ended up finishing where, with some help, he was able to actually get into water and benefit from water exercises. So it's a deadly disease. It's a very tough disease to deal with. And even though his genetic makeup basically says that he should get worse and worse, how we ended up working with his body made a very, very big difference for him. So he's going to be in this training course. He just decided he has to help other people, and he has to learn my principles. So everyone is going to be different, from people who are marathon runners, from Will, who, in spite of his eye problem, his body physique is very strong. He was a professional boxer. To a person who can hardly move, and the principles work for everyone. The exercises are a bit different from person to person. Well, as we learn the principles in our classes, people really pass to basic transformation. And we're starting this Tuesday, May 3rd. Anyone who wants to taste our class can get it from May 3rd to May 12th. And segment B is going to be from May 16th to May 25th. And since people come from all over the world to learn this, it would be nice if some of the audience will come to us. I remember one lady who felt that she was in a vacation, even though she came from Cupertino. She felt that she was in a vacation driving here. She was so relaxed, even knowing she's going to come for the 9 hours that we spend here together.
Wow. Well, Mayor, Paula, let me just take a minute out, because for some reason people did not hear who our guest is. And so our guest is Mayor Snyder. And as a teenager, he overcame congenital blindness. And today he holds an unrestricted driver's license. And his principles are... Well, he just takes people and he works with them, and he just knows he has this passion and experience with this gift he has to really to hone in and be able to just really bring that person's body back to knowing what to do. And so his website is, in case you want to go to it, is self-healing.org. And you can check out a few more things there. And Mayor, just for the aspect of it here, can you give me your phone number so people
yes,
can connect
people,
with you if they need to?
Are welcome to call us. We really want to speak with them.
Mm-hmm.
At 415-665-9574. And by the way, tonight in San Francisco, as every Thursday night we give free lectures, we're going to give a lecture on the power of the body to heal, and I'm going to be the lecturer tonight, which isn't always the case.
And that's 2218 48th Avenue in San Francisco.
Yes.
And what time does that start?
From 6:15 to 7:45.
Okay, let me just kind of go back. This segment A from May the 3rd to the 12th, what's really going to be taking place there? And then you also have a segment B later on from the May 16th to the 25th. And how do these two segments differ?
What's common to segment A and B is that we work on ourselves. We explore a sixth sense of the body, a kinesthetic awareness, to sense through movement all the muscle groups that we have, all the muscle groups that move and all the ones that don't move. So we're going to work on moving, feeling, and doing all of this through relaxation. The people with disability will move as much as they can. The able-bodied people will take to the beach and run with them backwards to use muscles we never used before and sideways. So I remember there was one 39-year-old lady starting with arthritis. I said, well, this is the time to prevent your arthritis. So she enrolled. She enrolled to the August class, but she almost took this May class in order to prevent arthritis from ensuing in her body, which was very important to her. So basically, we move and relax. The topics, I mean, we learn massage and we learn neuromuscular re-education. One of the things that I teach people that you can affect the concept in the brain of movement through touch. And for every one sensory nerve, there's 10 motor nerves and 200,000 interneurons in the brain. So we can affect the way that a person would move by giving him greater sensation of his or her body. And so that's what we're doing. With our massage, we learn to educate ourselves and others of how much movement is available in one's body. In segment A, we are focusing mainly on our back and joints, on our digestive system. We focus on our heart and circulation, and we also focus on heart circulation, and we also focus on respiration. We do eye exercises, but we don't quiz on that or examine on that. In the second segment, we focus on the nervous system, muscular system, and our visual system. So it's, in a way, one coherent class. We allow people to take a segment if they happen to not being able to take segment A, which is what we recommend you do first. Then they can take segment B and then complete segment A, let's say in August, if the time is too short to commit to that to those many hours. And the nice thing about it is that we do give people hours with which they can get a massage license. We're approved by the state and many, many places, but that's really secondary. You learn how to give a whole new form of holistic movement and massage that can serve a wide range of people, from people who have absolutely no problems but want to make sure that they prevent them and want to make sure they'll be happier in life, to people who have huge problems and want to find a way to work with them in the best possible way. And I have many, many examples here.
Now, the two segments together are 80 hours.
One class.
Total, right?
Yeah, each one is 80 hours.
Oh,
so
each one?
So together is 160 hours.
Well, you explained this to me more than I've ever known. I didn't know that you actually worked with the digestive system, and I knew
right.
that you worked with circulation, but you it's
the
complete body.
The most important
body.
Thing in a digestive system is peristalsis. You can, I really believe in eating good food and healthy food, and I wish I did myself a little bit more of it, but I can tell you that whole foods is very important to eat whole foods and not to drink all kinds of gas drinks and things of that nature. But I can tell you that you can take one person that will eat the best food there is and will really make sure that he gets the right things into his mouth, and it's a great feeling. You can take another person who can eat the worst food that could possibly be there, and what's going to happen is that the question is of peristalsis. Your peristalsis is not forceful, and that is the life and the motility of the digestive organs. If there is no great force in peristalsis, then the best of food will not be digested. And if there's the greatest force of peristalsis, the worst of food will be digested. So the point is that it's very, very important for us to work on having good peristalsis while we're also working on having good diet.
Well, Mayor, people might not know what peristalsis is, so you want to go a little
if
more...
If I stood on my head and I ate a date, I would have no problem digesting it. Now, gravity could be useful, but if, when you send astronauts to space, they can still eat there even though there is no gravitational help. So basically, peristalsis is the movement starting in the small intestine that affects the vast majority of the digestive system, which is the force that pushes food downwards. And that peristalsis could be low because of our lifestyle, of sitting too much, of worrying a lot. All those things can stop peristalsis from working. And what we need is to, of course, be as relaxed as we can be, physical as we can be, and limber as we can be, and also to have a real good sense of that peristalsis, and we teach massage that can really promote it.
Wow. Well, that's a real good thing. I'm thinking also, too, maybe really chewing our food. How many people just sit at the table and gulp their food down, and it goes down pretty
quick? I would really agree with you, 100%. You should really chew your food slowly, and eating should be a relaxing and a slow process rather than, you know, stuffing food in. And that's why so many people become overweight, and I can accuse myself a little bit of that. I'm trying to change it right now, actually, because of my extensive travel. But there is no excuse. I mean, your body should come first. Eat less, but eat well, if you can.
So in your class, you teach people how to massage their own organs?
I do. And I teach them, of course, how to massage each other's organs. Absolutely. How to feel the liver and especially how to affect spasm in the small intestine, because quite often, I will never forget, there was once a man who worked with me for glaucoma, and all of a sudden his wife started to throw up, and she was senile, and she started to throw up and couldn't do anything. So I suggested for him to go to the hospital, and they removed the tumor. And then 2 months later, she had the same problem, and I said, take her to the hospital. He said, I'd rather she die at home than take her to the hospital. So I thought I didn't have much choice, so I went to the home, and I started to put pressure on the different places that had spasm. I squeezed those areas, put a lot of pressure. in this area, and you start to hear all of a sudden all those juices rolling. It was like plumbing working in her abdomen. And all of a sudden she became clear. She said, I have pain, I need to have a doctor, which was very reasonable things to say. So we just put a hot towel and it relaxed. And for the next 5 years that she lived, she never had a stomach problem like this.
Wow.
So you can definitely learn how to work with those organs. But another thing to learn is to loosen up the muscles around the different organs, because when they're tight, they constrict the vascular flow to those organs, and they constrict the nerves. They put pressure on the nerves. So loosening those areas can be very, very effective for people's body. And it's amazing. It only takes me 2 days to teach it, you know. And it's a nine-hour day, but within 2 days, people know how to do that. And we work on the joints and bones. I think that we discussed that in your show, but basically the muscles of all the joints are interconnected. You cannot have stiff toes and loose knees and loose hips. If your toes are stiff, and I would say most people's toes are stiff and weak, and that has to do with the fact that we wear shoes all the time and we walk on cement, and it's just a modern phenomena, so to speak. So the stiffness of the toes leads to tension of the ankle, tension of the knees, tension of the hips, and eventually tension of the whole back and neck. And I think it's almost pointless to simply work on someone's neck, on someone's shoulder, without working on the rest of the body. So when people come to me with neck pain or shoulder pain, I do examine whether the rest of the body is also stiff or not. And so that's what we're working with. And we have other days that we learn about blood and circulation. That's another big topic, where we learn that actually loosening the hips and the shoulders eases the work of the heart, and it's easier for the periphery to receive blood flow. So it's not like I'm against aerobic. I'm all for aerobic, but that is as long as the body is loose, because if it is tight, the more you do aerobic, the more you tighten your body and actually make it much harder for the heart to work.
Wow.
So that is a very important thing for us to learn, and we are learning that in our session, how to loosen the shoulders, loosen the hip joints, so the hands and the feet would feel warm. And we learn many other things about circulation.
You know, a few years back, I remember being with you in just an evening session. And I think I was so shocked where you went to each person. They had a different problem. And you literally, you listened to them, and then you told them to work with this muscle or that muscle. You knew exactly what to do. And it might, you know, even though they might have had a joint problem, you had them work in another area. And let me tell you, the success that I saw that evening with people was just incredible, and ever since, you know, you made such a big impression on me, and I know that you have as well on Paula, your passion and your experience with this gift of yours that you have. You know, and again, you just seem to know exactly what to do, and maybe starting with your congenital blindness, you know, as a child, and then going from there is you just learned about muscles to be able to work everything, and you have this beautiful technique that you can help people looking at movement and improvement in every aspect and getting them back to where they're moving again. It's pretty amazing.
If you take a look at it, when you look at someone's posture, it involves their joints, but it also involves the muscles. Muscles are like arrows or vectors of power, and each muscle pulls your bones to a different direction. So you can see if there is balance, and the bones are pulled exactly in the right way, the joints are very loose, and you're very flexible and very strong at the same time. But you can see what happens when some muscles are very strong, some are weak, and the bones are being pulled out of place and pressure starts to happen in the body, those things can be very, very difficult for the body. And what's really interesting, you know, so when I get a patient with muscular dystrophy, they don't always only have muscular dystrophy. On the muscular dystrophy, we have to do a special massage that relaxes the muscles, that brings more blood to the muscles, etc. But on the joints, we still want to look at how even is the movement of the muscles. And because it's not being looked at well enough, if you take a look at it, many people with muscular dystrophy have lordosis, which is a big curvature of the lower back, and scoliosis, which is a side movement, and all kinds of deformities that happen because nobody worked with them on balancing their muscles. If they learned that they have muscular dystrophy, they basically were sent home to wither and die. And I refuse to allow a thing like this to go by my watch, so to speak. When I receive somebody with muscular dystrophy, I work with him, and I work as much as I can to enroll as many muscles as possible in his body so his body will function better.
Well, you certainly treat the body as a whole. You know, a lot of people, if you have a hip problem or a shoulder problem, they just work with that area, but you work with the whole body, which is incredible.
Absolutely.
I can testify. I broke my big toe about 2 months ago, and because of not walking like I normally do, my knee started to go out. I could feel it all the way up.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's exactly what I think. What happens quite often is that somebody comes to me with a neck tension, and they think it's only their neck, but it's not only their neck. Or somebody has problem in their joints, in the TMJ joint, and they think it's only the TMJ, but it's not only that. And I think there is nothing like demonstrating. So again, anyone who wants to study my work thoroughly for themselves and for others, I can tell you that my class is going to be really mixed, from people who want this so they can get the vocation and the knowledge and work immediately with other people, to people who want to work on themselves mainly, and to people who want to only work on themselves. So we have like three groups. Some who want to work, first of all, on themselves and mainly on themselves, but also want to help others. Some who want to only work on themselves, and some who want to work on others. And sometimes people switch sense and they also want to work on others after they study with me. But anyone who wants to work on themselves thoroughly, 9 hours a day would do it. And if you come on the 3rd, this Tuesday, you can register for our class and really learn extensively our craft. And again, you can call 415-665-9574. If you want to see me in Santa Cruz, I'm going to have half a day of Natural Vision Improvement Day, and I can tell you that people, even after 2 hours, end up seeing better. After 4 hours, 90% of people who come do see better, at least temporarily. We will have on June 16th a 6-day eye class where people see better, and it's not temporary after six days that they work with me and continuing that work. But if you want to come to Santa Cruz, either to the Saturday workshop, which is going to be on the 28th or the 27th, which is the Friday night, you want to work with me, then you are welcome to call Jan at 831-359-1183 or call the School for Self-Healing at 415-665-9574, and it's going to be in downtown Santa Cruz.
Now, when did you find out you're going to be in Santa Cruz? My curiosity is because I wanted to know
A week ago to do it. When the training course is over, I decided to go to Santa Cruz because I've not been there for so long. And I decided it's a real nice place.
Well, the timing, the angels were with you with the timing, because we had already had you scheduled for quite a while for this interview. And
right. I decided after I was scheduled already for the interview, without thinking about the interview itself, but being happy to rediscover it, I have it. So that was good. I really think it's good because many of your audience are from the Santa Cruz area or the southern part of San Jose. We can come there within an hour drive. And I think it's a very good opportunity to see me and work with me.
Now, Mayor, I really question, you know, being that you've had your eyesight brought back so that you can now drive a car.
You know that I got for my last birthday the best gift of my life?
What?
A 5-year unrestricted driver's license.
Ah! Oh, wow.
Because I had to fight for a time-restricted driver's license. It was not restricted, but they restricted it with time and all that. And one lady decided to pull me out of those restricted categories because of my record of driving. An unrestricted driver's license for the next 5 years, and I cannot tell you how happy I am about that.
Well, let me just ask you. Yeah, I know. But my question is, I'm going, okay, you know, are you always on, I know you give the classes, so you must be using these techniques on yourself all the time too. But I mean, is there a time when you take out time away from classes and you work with your eyes or...
Oh, no question.
You know, yeah.
No question. You know, I'll give you an example. Last Thursday, I decided to run, but I did not know I'm going to go that far, but I ended up running from the Cliff House to Pacifica and back, which my daughter measured exactly how far it was, 17.2 miles, just with my bathing suit on the beach. And it's not like I wanted to do it in advance, but I immersed with the ocean. I felt one with the sand. And for about 4 hours or so, I just didn't think about anything. It was just a wonderful experience. And just today, I had a 15-mile bicycle ride. And I'm a slow biker and even a slow runner, but I just enjoyed this incredible wind that everybody is running away from in San Francisco. You know, like on the beach, I run just with my bathing suit. And the bicycle, I really enjoyed it. It was interesting to hear the head of the Minister of Safety in England, who decided to ride a bicycle without a helmet, even though his department says to everybody to wear helmets to be cautious. And he said that he must feel the air, that it really helps him concentrate. So I felt the air. I was riding around Lake Merced. I don't know how many audience know about it, but it's a nice lake we have. And it was such a nice feeling. So the answer is yes, I'm definitely working on my eyes, and I'm seeing continuous improvement. It's just so amazing. I'm nearly 57. I started my work when I was 17, actually nearly 17. So on June, I will celebrate 40 years to doing my work, to being introduced to the Bates Method and developing much further. And still, my vision keeps improving from near and from far. It doesn't jump, but it is slowly, slowly improving all the time. I'm very happy about that.
And you, because we've known you for quite some time now, and I see you learning something new from each person you work with. I mean, you always are looking and finding new methods.
Yeah, let me give you a case that I just recently had. The world blessed me with another hard case yesterday, but I'll keep working on that. I had an infant. He was an infant, 3 months old, who was born with a very healthy right eye, but cataract in his left. And the parents were hesitant to do a surgery, and for a good reason. The doctors pressed them, and then I said, why don't you try the surgery? It worked for my kids. And when the parents finally were about to do the surgery, they discovered there was a lot of blood vessels growing behind the lens that had cataract. And so they went to Russia. They also were here. And they went back and forth. And one of the things that happened is that after about a year, his eye shrunk because the right eye was normal and developed normally and it grew well, but the left eye, because it was nearly blind and had cataract, shrunk. So the doctor suggested to remove the eye, put a glass eye instead, so the bones around it will grow better, otherwise the face would be deformed. I said, that's where you put a stop to what the doctors tell you to do. And we did with him sunning, which is we put him in the outside and got his parents to move his whole body from side to side. When most people do sunning, they simply move their head from side to side. And we did massaging of the skull, and we did patching of the strong eye and putting and having light blinking in the weak eye. And we put a piece of paper between the eyes. And the more he grew, the less he cooperated. You expect that from kids. But basically, 6 months down the line, they went to Russia again, and the pediatric ophthalmologist started to yell at them for the fact that they did not replace the eye, because she was afraid that the face would be deformed, and what good is the eye if it's blind? And then she discovered that the eye actually grew, and she discovered also that there were a wavelength between the brain and the eye, and she said, in all my years of pediatric ophthalmology, I've never discovered a thing like that. And and that's exactly what happened with quite a few other cases. But they went and they saw Dr. Hoyt, who is the top pediatric ophthalmologist in UCSF, and he said, it's amazing. He said, keep seeing Meir Schneider, because ophthalmology can do nothing about it. And it's an amazing situation. And he agreed that that's what basically happened. So I'm very happy, because I don't think I had any case where I prevented the doctors from extracting an eye like this. So we saved an eye for a baby to the rest of his life.
Wow.
And so that's one of the good cases I've had. I will never forget the case that Sonia, my best practitioner in Brazil, got. I mean, there was a kid in Japan who was born with a very unusual disease called coloboma, which is basically holes in the eye, holes in the retina, holes in the sclera, holes everywhere. And the Japanese pediatric ophthalmologist said, well, what you need to do is get used to the fact that you're going to have a blind child, just learn Braille, learn to use a cane and all that. So they went to Brazil, to São Paulo, Brazil, because originally they were from there. And they checked with the pediatric ophthalmologist, who said, well, with the left eye he will see something, with the right eye there's no way, that the holes are too big, he's just not going to see anything. So they went to Sonia, and the first thing she did, she said, I want to work with his right eye. The parents said, no, he can't see with his right eye. So she put a patch over the left eye, and she has a dark room with all kinds of light. I mean, she's also a conventional vision therapy, so she got all kinds of donations from England to Brazil to form a very nice dark room where she does. She has all kinds of stimulating games, and he responded to light in the dark, and he kept doing it. And within a month, he was able to play ball with his supposedly blind right eye. And his vision improved and improved, so they went back to the ophthalmologist, and the mother and the ophthalmologist checked his left eye and said, oh, it looks good. The mother says, he sees through the right eye. The ophthalmologist said, that's impossible. So she put a patch over his left eye and threw a ball, and he ran and took the ball. And the ophthalmologist says, I can't understand it. Go back to this miracle maker because I have no idea how come he could see it with that eye. And if anyone would look through my eye that has 99% scar tissue in the lens, they would say that I cannot see either. But I drive a car, and I run, and I do all kinds of things, and I see better than quite a few people right now, I can tell you that. So I think that a lot can happen, and I just want to bring back my message that vision can improve. The fathers of ophthalmology in the 1800s decided that vision cannot improve, and we're all hypnotized by that, and we don't believe that our vision can improve. And I am a lonely wolf in the dark, and even when I go to convention and speak in convention, I'm not seeing thousands of people. The best we see a few dozens, and sometimes we see hundreds of people in those conventions lecturing about how vision can improve. And most people just don't believe that vision can improve, and that's why it doesn't. But we can prevent glasses, and we can see better. It's only a question of working on ourselves.
In the 60s,
if you'd say your heart can get better with diet and exercise, you'd consider to be a freak. And right now, every self-respective cardiologist will tell you exactly that. And so things moved there, but they didn't move in the eyes yet.
Well, do you think modern medicine, seeing all the improvement that's been done by you and others that use your method, you would think that they would re-examine that and start studying what you are actually doing?
That's why I'm so grateful to be on your show, because it's not only modern medicine, it's also the modern media. I mean, they're just not looking at people like me. And in spite of the fact that I have top professors of ophthalmology hailing what I'm doing, in spite of the fact that they're even doing it in writing. You know, I tell you, there wasn't one serious research that has shown that base work does not work. But they claim it doesn't work. And I invited them to do a pre-pilot research for me. Not even a pilot, just pre-pilot, to send a student of ophthalmology or optometry in an advanced studies to make a paper, defend it to the professor, so I can try and raise funds, because it's between $2 and $3 million. I don't have anything anywhere close to 10% of it, you know, so let's not talk about having that, you know. It costs a lot of money to do research. You have to show two separate groups and things of that nature and have the right equipment and machinery. Well, I want to tell you, it absolutely is an amazing situation that five universities, first of all, I hear yes, then I hear maybe, then I hear no. Why? Because people know that what I'm doing works, and the last thing in the world they want to do is return to the drawing table and restudy all that they thought is correct, and to find that it's incorrect. Because, you know, if vision can improve, and it does, and it can, we can actually prevent 90% of the eye problems that exist these days.
Boy, that's a
lot. Yeah, because basically, if you can improve your vision and you would not depend on your glasses, then you also will not have an advanced myopia, which is one of the reasons for retinal detachments. And these days, you know, one of my patients is 37 years of age, already with bleeding in his macula, which is amazing. But I've met people with macula with retinal detachment, quite a few people who are pretty young. If vision will improve, you're going to have so fewer people with glaucoma, so fewer people with macular degeneration. The whole situation in the eye field will change. I personally really believe that before, you know, what really was amazing to me, the debate about universal health care, and personally I believe in the right of people to be treated by physicians, but the thing that bothered me most than anything else is everybody expected that 17% of the economy of the U.S., which is the largest economy on earth ever, should always go for medical practice. It is ridiculous. I think that we could shrink it to less than 1% if we would work on preventative work, and that's exactly why I'm teaching my classes, exactly why I teach the segment A and segment B. A, to train people so they can help other people. But B, to train people so they can help themselves.
Yeah. You know, it's really amazing for me to listen to what you're saying. I picture that there must be new neural pathways. Somehow, and whatever you're doing in the movement and that kind of thing, you're reprogramming the body so it knows what to do. It's just so wonderful. It's so amazing. It's nice that I'm glad to hear you're cloning people like you, people that know what to do. You know, because if the media can't get it out there, you know, and really be able to reestablish the old patterns of what they think works or doesn't work, and I mean, you're proving it, Mir. It's just really wow. It's just so exciting.
I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if people have the beginnings of cataracts. Can you reverse that?
Definitely. What you need to do to prevent cataracts from developing further, I mean, what's cataracts? It's basically degeneration of the lens. And why does it happen? Because in modern times, I'm sitting here right now, and I'm looking at a wall. How far is the wall from me? 2 feet. When I was biking, I was looking at a lake. That's all different. But basically, most of what we do these days, and even you, Paula, you live in a country, but you still probably, knowing how evolved you are a book person, so you read. And most people read, and that's a great thing, except it puts our eyes from near, and the lens needs to have, first of all, the ability to stretch and to look at a distance. And most of us are not looking at a distance for distance sake. It's not the same as driving, because you basically look a few dozens of yards ahead of you, the side of you, back of you. It's one thing if you drive cross country and you will not see a car for miles and miles and your eyes will rest in the distance. And normally the eyes are not resting. They're looking and looking and looking, which is a good thing to do and it's a safe thing to do and all that. But the lens needs to stretch. And when the lens stretches, then you prevent cataract from developing. So the two most important exercises is looking 20 minutes at a distance every day. You can divide it into two 10-minute sessions and maybe intensify it for a few weeks to 40 minutes. You wave your hands to the side to make sure that your eyes are open and your periphery is working. And you look at the mountains. In your case, in our case, we have wonderful waves that we're looking at and clouds. Even it's nice to look at the fog. You look at something that stands still or something that moves. You look from area to area. You scan at a distance, and you really relax your eyes out there. And that is the opposite of what the lens always does, so the lens can rejuvenate itself and have more life. And the other thing is palming, where you rub your hands. You put your hands over your eye orbits, and you visualize complete darkness. And I think I've done pretty good palming session in the kit for natural vision improvement. It has two CDs in it, and in both of them, one to teach you how to work in front of the computer without eye strain. You can get sections out that are pretty small, and they don't disturb your working day. The other is how to improve your vision in general. Both of them have very powerful palming sessions. And so I would really suggest that you would look at a distance and really relax your eyes and also palm. And this is you put your hands around the eye orbits in a dark room and you visualize complete darkness and you rest your eyes from all the visual stimuli that you had throughout the day and will have. Tibetan yogis did it, and Bates did it as well. And if you can do it at least half an hour a day, every day, and some days do it for an hour, you'd find that you can stop your cataract from developing.
Wow. Now, the people can order the vision improvement kit from your website?
Absolutely, or straight from my school, which is, again, 415-665-9574, and you can definitely go to my website.
And the website's www.self-healing.org. So make sure you put the dash between self and healing. And there's a lot of other good information on your website as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you're starting to make videos, I see.
Yes, definitely. I'm making more and more videos, and I have CDs. And I have a new book, but I'm looking for a publisher still. It's the new book, which I call Vision for Life. Once I find the publisher, then I hope to be, first of all, on your show, talking to you about this book and sending it to you first. But I can send it to you electronically at this point, but I don't have yet the book published.
Wow. So what is this new book about?
Vision for Life, how to improve your vision in many different situations, how to use your eyes in a way that is the most productive one, to look at details, to look at a distance, to blink, to rest your eyes. And also it is how to improve your vision for many different situations. Sometimes all you can do is maintain it. Sometimes all you can do is improve it a little bit. For example, if somebody lost a part of the field of vision, most of the time their mind will try to ignore the part that is blind. And I tell them to do the exact opposite. What I tell them is to patch every part that sees, take a good friend or Samaritan, and walk with them in the outdoors and move the head from side to side and try to identify with fuzzy vision on the areas he's blind spot, because many times he's not completely blind. And then when they take all that patching away and the area that was considered to be blind starts to integrate with the rest of the sight, they see better and they have a great sense of relief. So that's one example of how to maintain vision at its worst. But it starts with the 10 principles of seeing better, which is resting the eyes, looking at the distance, adjusting the eyes to the light and the darkness, looking at details, balancing the use of the eyes, because often one eye is overpowering another eye in the brain. Learning how to use your periphery and body and eye coordination. So I'm teaching them those principles, and I think the book is short and very good, and I just am praying that pretty soon somebody will publish it for me so I can be on the radio and tell you about a physical book.
Well, I know from our last interview with you.
You know what I'm telling you, too, Paula? Because every time you send me a good thought, things happen.
Well, things are going through my head for a publisher. There's a couple, of our authors, and I know they're publishers, so we can call you with some names.
Oh, wonderful.
The last time we interviewed you, you were talking about dark glasses and mm-hmm. why people should not wear them.
Right.
Do you want...
Well, you know... Go ahead. So, because what happens is, when you wear dark glasses, you weaken your pupils and you really weaken your retina, because the retina produces the melanin pigment that is there to protect the eyes from the sunlight within the eye. And the moment that you wear dark glasses, then you protect the eye from the outside and you compromise the production of the pigments inside. And the proof to it is that they took and not only you are not helping the pigment production in your eye, it affects the pigmentary production all over the body. And they convinced two villages in Australia to wear sunglasses, and first time in Australian histories, Aborigines started to have skin burn. And I really think that we need the light for optimism. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, San Jose and also the mountains, they're very sunny at a certain point of the year. Well, you can put a head with a visor and have shade. But to change the consistency of light and to filter light out, I think could be a mistake if it's done for a long time. I understand you're putting sunglasses when you drive and the sun is straight in your eyes. There are all kinds of situations like this you should put them on. Or if there's great snow and you're skiing, something of that nature with great sun. But in general, the sun should not bother you, and if it does, you should do the exercise of sunning, where you close your eyes and you move your head from side to side, and as you face the sun, the pupils constrict, and as you move away, they expand, and the expansion and constriction of the pupils help you to strengthen your eyes. In general, I really believe in the strength of nature, and in many ways in our lives, we have taken nature away from our health, and we only try to fix things with medications, but we don't try to emerge with nature and become stronger and more capable as a result.
It's funny how the optometrists have created the glass lenses that adjust with the sunlight. So, you know, it automatically gives you a shaded eyeglass if you go out in the sun. So I can imagine people that wear those, I mean, constantly. I mean, there's no room to bring the sun into the eye.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you more than that. Pretty soon they start to be bothered by strong light anywhere. And the reason is the pupils become weaker, the retina becomes weaker. You know, just like, you know, when people are about to be in the wheelchair, I do anything I can do to prevent them from getting there. I get them to water, I get them to do exercises, I'm getting them to work with muscles that they never worked before. But conventional wisdom or conventional medicine basically pushes wheelchair on them so they will have the wheelchair and they'll be comfortable. So the idea is you really sacrifice health for comfort. And it's one of the big mistakes that we're doing. Again, let me just repeat, 17% of the most powerful economy ever in human history is being dedicated to cover medical costs. I like to say that I think that less than 1% should do it. Yes, some doctors should be highly paid because they work very, very hard to study and to know what they're doing. If they can reattach your retina, but by God, work on your eyes, reduce your myopia or nearsightedness, you may never need that specialist. Yes, if you go to a heart specialist, you need your heart to be operated, that's a great thing that you have the best machinery and the best doctor. How about pumping the blood well in your body, learning how to deal with circulation, learning when that, you know, I can tell you a few principles about it. If you feel fatigue, it means your blood doesn't flow well. If you feel lack of clarity, it means the blood doesn't flow well. If you feel that you are heavy and stiff comparing to before, the blood doesn't flow well. And what we teach people is sometimes resting is better than being active, and then other times being active is the best thing you could do. Depends which part of your day it is. If you are able to become less stiff in the morning and do some good activities, it can make a very big difference for you.
We only have 1 minute, so let's give out your information. You're going to be in Santa Cruz, what date?
On the 27th in the evening from 7:30 to 9, I'm going to give a general lecture. On the 28th, from 9 to 1:30, I'm going to give a workshop, and it's going to be in downtown Santa Cruz, and it's going to be at 819 and a half Pacific Avenue, Suite 3, and you can call 831-359-1183, speak with Jan. She's organizing it partially. And call us at 415-665-9574.
And call Meyer's School for Self-Healing if you are interested in his 80-hour course that's coming up Tuesday.
Yes. I'm interested in you if you're interested in yourself.
And the phone number for Meyer's School is 415-665-9574. One more time, 415-665-9574. And Meyer, thank you for taking time out. We always love to have you. People just really realize that you have something, and we're so thankful that you do.
And
we
I'm
always
thankful
learn,
to both.
And we always learn something new every time we're with you. So have a
I'm
great
really
day on the,
grateful to both of you.
And have a great day on the beach.
Thanks. I already did that part of the day.
Good.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.